Everybody open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And then just hold your place there for a little bit. Anybody remember what the series is we've been talking, teaching on? Learning about?
The Secret Kingdom.
The Secret Kingdom. Now, why do we call it Secret Kingdom? Anybody know? Because it's secret to those that aren't believers, that don't know the word. Jesus talked about, he said to the disciples, he had given them the power to understand the illustrations and things he gave, the stories he gave, but the rest of the world didn't understand it. So anyway, what we're talking about is the secret kingdom of God, this kingdom of God that Jesus spent most of his time on earth talking about. And we all need to learn that we can reach into that kingdom and take what we need and pull it out and use it now. We don't need healing when we're in heaven, do we? Because our bodies will be made whole. We don't need prosperity when we go to heaven, do we? Because we'll have everything. We need those things now. We need those blessings that God gave us now. We need to be able to reach into that kingdom and bring those things into this, the invisible things into the visible world. Mark chapter 11, verse 20, 22. Somebody read that.
And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him."
That's good. What had happened, Jesus was with the disciples and they were walking along, and Jesus saw a fig tree. Well, he went by and there were no figs on it, right? So the next day they came back by, and Jesus actually, he cursed that fig tree. And the next day they came by, what happened to the fig tree the next day?
It was dead.
It didn't produce fruit, and so it died. You know, God wants us to produce fruit as Christians, doesn't he? And what we're talking about today, we're talking about the law of miracles. Next week we're going to do the last one in this series. But today it's called the law of dominion. But today we're talking about the law of miracles. Miracles are not the norm for the world. And we've seen miracles in this class, haven't we? I mean, we saw the lady from the islands that had the tumor the size of a lemon, and we prayed the next day it was the size of her fingernail, little fingernail. I mean, God wants to do those things. From the day of Pentecost, God changed what was normal in this world. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down. Jesus told the apostles and all the other people there, he says, "Wait here until I send the Holy Spirit. Send a comforter, somebody to work with you and walk with you." And when that happened, it says they received power to walk a Christian life. So anyway, miracles are completely opposite to the nature of the world. There are certain laws in this world, like the law of gravity. You could get in scientific theories and all that, but miracles completely change those things. But after the day of Pentecost, miracles should be a norm in our life as Christians. They should be. Most of the world doesn't know that. You know, Barb, we were talking about you guys this morning. Imagine that, we're talking about you guys. Not in a bad way, but we're talking about how there's such a maturity. There is such a maturity in this group. You know, a big witness to that is when Jim and Jan left, you guys stayed in here. You stuck it out as a group. And you stay together. And I tell you, I think that's a real testimony to this group and what kind of people you guys are. A miracle is a divine intervention in the normal way the world operates. How many of you ever seen a miracle when you prayed for somebody or prayed for a miracle? Give me an example.
My son was diagnosed with Tourette's. And if you don't know what that is, it's a lifetime thing. It never goes away. And he gets so loud when he barked. We lived in a brick house, and the people in the brick house next door could hear him inside their house. And so the doctor's remedy was to give him enough narcotics to put him to sleep at night, so he would stop. And we'd have to go in like three times and take his blood pressure. And I started praying and fasting, and then I cursed God and told him to get out of my house and leave me alone. And I was not very nice. And my pastor came and sat outside my house and prayed. And came inside and we prayed together. I'm sorry to go so long, but it's... And when he came inside, we prayed, and he said, "God's already healed your son. God said, if you ask for it, he will do it. It's you who don't believe."
Yeah.
And so we prayed that day, and the next day I took him off all his medicine, and he never took again. And when I took him back to the neurologist, he said, I hope you have something good to say today, because my patients aren't doing really well. And I said, well, my son's healed. And I thought he was going to hit me. He was so angry when I told him I took him off the medicine. And then he said, please bring him back. I just can't believe this has happened. And they tried to prove that it was a misdiagnosis.
Yeah.
But he had already been being treated for years. It wasn't like it was a 5-minute thing. So he was cured from an incurable thing.
That's
because
good.
Because I asked God.
You know, something you said is key that you guys should have picked up on is that the healing is already done.
Yes.
It's just like salvation.
I never understood that until that moment when the pastor was, he was so kind. He was so good to me because I said, you're not coming to my house at 30. I mean, literally, he stood outside my house for 3 hours.
Yep. Well, if you think about salvation, it's already done for us, right?
Yeah.
We just have to reach in the kingdom of God and take that, what Christ did for us. Same with healing. It's already been atoned for. All that healing, spiritual, physical, emotional, we've just got to reach in the kingdom of God and take those things. And that's what this whole thing is about. Jesus spent his whole time talking about this secret kingdom and explaining it to the apostles and disciples so we could get it through the word. Gil?
About miracles, when our last daughter was born, I was told I couldn't have any more children. And we went 11 years before Christine came in the world, and Satan did everything to take her from us. I do believe that. And before I got pregnant, I reminded God about Sarah, how old she was, and he opened up her womb. So I asked him to open up my womb. Well, I didn't consult Larry about this.
How this could happen.
I said, like it did the first time. But,
you might want to write that in your notes.
So anyways, then I was in the hospital twice with hemorrhaging, and I had to have my cervix sewed up. But to make a long story short, she was a preemie. She weighed like 3 pounds and 2 ounces. And it's amazing what they can do now, because you hear babies only weighing 1 pound.
Yeah.
And to top it off, I do now know why it was so hard for her to come to the world. She has a heart for missions. And her goal, her husband is along with this too, is they want to serve in Africa or in Indonesia as missionaries one day. And part-time missionaries. My daughter let me know it was part-time, but you know, it's she's too Americanized right now. But her heart is on the mission field, and you know, and it's just, that's my miracle.
That's good. One more. We got time for one more. Somebody else share.
My dad is now not with us, but many years ago, when he was diagnosed with melanoma cancer, the doctors cut it out, and then they came and did all kinds of tests and said, you know, it's all over your body. And he had the elders and the pastors come pray and anoint him with oil. And after they left, he said, the Lord's healed me. And the doctors did 3 tests after that because they couldn't believe that it was all gone.
Doctors have a hard time with it, don't they?
And
really,
just could not believe
it's awesome.
That his cancer was gone. Now, I have to say this, 3 years later, his cancer did come back. And at that time, he said, Lord's going to heal me, but he's taking me home this time.
Yeah.
And he knew that.
Yeah.
So in one instance, yes, the Lord got healing. And there was a reason for that, because that was at the time when he was on the building committee here at the church. We were moving out to this property. He had stuff that had to be done.
Yeah.
And then when the Lord was finished with him, he took him home.
And that's the ultimate healing, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was, when I was in high school, my brother actually worked at Sears after school. He took whatever program it is where you work to like 1 or 2 and then you work. Well, I did the same thing. And after my brother graduated high school, he moved to Amarillo. Well, I took his job at Sears. And the lady that managed Sears, their family had grown up in southwestern Oklahoma with my family, and a bunch of those people had moved up into Texas. But, and I didn't know all that. I always wondered how my mom and dad knew all these people. Well, I found out later on in life. But anyway, when I was in seminary, I heard that she had breast cancer and that she was really not doing well, and they didn't expect her to live just 6 more weeks. So I had gone home, And I wanted to go see her and just see how she's doing, because she really was really good to me as a kid, growing up working in a situation like that, and which wasn't a bad situation, but she was just really good to me. So anyway, I called her just to see if it was okay if we went by. And she said, yeah, but I'm healed. And I said, what? She said, I'm healed. And I'm like, I heard you had like 6 weeks to live. That's what the doctor said, but I'm healed. So I went over to the house and I said, tell me what happened. And she said, well, she said, I was laying in bed one night, and she said, I was just kind of praying about 2 a.m. and said, Jesus walked in the room. And he walked down the foot of the bed and he looks and he says, you're healed. He turned around, walked out the other wall. And she said, immediately the phone rang, and it was her oldest daughter. And she said, Mom, I just got woken up by a dream and the Lord told me you're healed. I mean, instantly like that. And she's still alive to this day. Matter of fact, Barb got to meet her a while back. We stopped through Amarillo. They're living there now. So God does still do miracles, doesn't he? And you know what? What limits God a lot of times is us. We limit God because of our lack of faith. Jesus actually got onto the apostles several times. He got onto them for not casting out demons. He got onto them for, what are some of the other things? He got onto them for not walking on the water. Remember when Peter did walk on the water, but he looked at the waves and he fell? Jesus got onto him. Because Jesus wanted them to understand if they walked in faith, they could do anything. One of my favorite scriptures is John 14:12-14. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. John 14:12-14. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. You know what? We limit God, don't we? What is it that you've been feeling like you want to pray for, but you're just not sure God would do it? I know I run across things like that all the time. I limit myself, and I have to stop and say, wait a minute, that's not believing God. God said if we'll do it, he'll do it. Remember Jesus said that, he said, whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to see what the Father's doing. How do we apply that in our lives now? Jesus said, I see my Father do it, and then I do it, and it's manifest here on earth. How do we apply that? Does that seem kind of foreign to you when you think about that, seeing what God's doing? And how do we apply that in our life? Anybody know? To me, that's kind of a hard one. How do you see what God's doing? But as I got to looking at that, I think if we realize what God's nature is, we know what God wants. Is it God's will for somebody to be demon-possessed? Barb and I were talking about the young man that the father brought to Jesus, and he said, my son, he said, he's demon-possessed, and this demon throws him in the fire and throws him in the water, and he goes into seizures. And do you think that's God's will? Mm-hmm. I mean, if Jesus was there, Jesus, what did he do? He healed him, didn't he? So I think if we look at the nature of God, we can know what God wants to do. Abraham.
If we look at John 3:16, we can only understand that one verse. In the entire Bible, the rest of the thing can be understood. But we don't understand if a man can love you to the point of giving his own and only son, the only thing he had, to give everything just for you and myself. What else he can give you?
Yeah.
That's enough in the Bible, but it's like something we learn and it's part of us, so we don't take it, we take it lightly.
Well, if you think about God giving Jesus,
yes.
the rest of it's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rest of it's easy. I mean, that was the hardest thing God could have done. We had a concert Tuesday night in Celebrate Recovery. You guys missed out. This guy, his name's John Bauer, and he's won like the equivalent of Dove Awards in Canada. And you got to forgive him because he's Canadian, but anyway, that's a joke. Anyway, but he was really good. I mean, this guy's incredible. But he was talking about it. He had a little toe-headed boy there. I mean, just as blonde as he could be. Just a cute little kid. What was he, 4 years old?
Five
years old. And he said, you know what? There is no way in the world I'd give my son for any one of you people. And you think about Jesus. I mean, how God turned and gave Jesus for us. Like I say, the rest of it's easy if you look at it. But Jesus rebuked the apostles. He rebuked them for not walking in faith. They didn't cast out demons they should have. They didn't walk on water. But there was one man that he really said had the faith that everybody should have. He was a centurion. Anybody remember what happened with the centurion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one was his servant. A different one. That was Jairus. That's good, though. That's a good one, too. But the centurion came to Jesus, and he said, look, one of my my servants is sick. And he said, he's right at death's door. Would you come and pray for him? And Jesus said, I'll heal him. And the guy says, no, just say the word. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. You don't even have to go there. He says, I'm a man that understands authority. He says, I understand when I tell somebody to do something, they do it. And when you speak, it's going to be done. And you know, Jesus looked and he said, I've never seen this kind of faith anywhere. And this guy wasn't even, as far as we know, a believer. Obviously he was a believer because he believed what Christ did, right? So anyway, Jesus just spoke the word and that servant was healed right then. See the power in that? You know, there's a guy I've told you about that I really like. His name's Mike Murdoch. If you get a chance, he has a place called the Wisdom Center in Fort Worth. But man, I tell you, some of his teachings are really good. But he talks about, there's a scripture, and I wish I'd have written it down, but the Holy Spirit talks all the time. God talks all the time. The problem is we don't stop and take time to listen. We don't listen. We get so busy in this world. And he also said something. He said, God never yells, God whispers. And that's so true. God's always talking. He said, matter of fact, God likes to talk so much, he named himself the Word. I thought that was good. Named himself the Word. Matthew 8 is where the story is about the centurion. But that guy knew that if Jesus would just say the word, he didn't even have to go see the guy or be in his presence. He knew if he'd say the word, he'd be healed. How many times do we limit God? We get sick and we think, you know, we keep praying. You know, I heard a guy say one time that, you remember when Jonah got on the boat and he was going the complete opposite direction of Nineveh, completely in rebellion to what God had told him? Well, the storm came up, right? And all the sailors started praying to their false gods. Praying, and they were trying to find out why this storm. They knew it was spiritual by some means. And finally, the captain of the ship came down and said, why aren't you praying to your God? You pray to your God too. Maybe this storm will stop because we're all going to die if you don't. Well, what did Jonah say? He finally fessed up, didn't he? He said, look, I'm the one. He says, throw me overboard. Give me a little splash and the storm will stop. You know what? A lot of us sometimes, we don't need more prayer. We need a splash. You think about that. That is so true. God's already done what a lot of times what we're praying for, but we keep praying, oh God, please, when it's already done. Just like salvation, that's already been done for us. Healing's has already been taken care of in the atonement. We just need to reach into the kingdom of God and pull that out. We're going to talk about how we do that.
James,
yes?
I have a question. That's always troubled me because you have, on the one hand, the persistent widow,
mm-hmm.
and then on the other hand, I've heard people say that once you pray once and it's done.
Right,
people
have they've mistaken that of the widow. It says she went to an unjust judge. That's not God. God's not an unjust judge. You think about it. And what she did is she kept saying, look, I won this case. You need to do what's right. I won this case. That was an unjust judge. And it says if an unjust judge is finally going to say, okay, here it is, how much more is it going to work for us with a God that is just? We pray and we believe. We believe when we pray that we receive.
But it doesn't mean that we should be persistent in prayer?
No. What we do is we're persistent. If you look in Isaiah, I wish I had the scripture. I can get it to you. It says that we remind God. And that's what we do. It's like a lawyer. We go to a judge and say, Lord, your word says. You know, I think that pleases God. We say, Lord, by your stripes, this person was healed. It's already done. And so a lot of times when we pray, we don't have to keep praying over something because it's already done. We just have to, it needs to be manifest. But that thing with the widow, you've got to realize as you read that, that's an unjust judge. It's always been kind of likened to God, but it's not God. It's an unjust judge. And he was doing what was not right. I mean, there are some things that we do have to keep praying because we don't know what God's will is in a matter necessarily. We can understand the nature of God, but a lot of things we know God's will. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We know we're going to be over Satan. We know Satan has no authority over us. So we don't have to keep praying for that. We don't have to keep praying that we're saved because we've been saved. See what I'm saying? Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, but, there's something here with part of us that like you also, and we don't want to recognize you. That is, let's say any one of us maybe had his father, a president of the United States, and his son is with him at the White House. Tell me, if you are friendly with his son, you think he can tell the president anything to do for you?
Yeah.
Jesus is with God, the creator of the universe,
yep.
who has authority over everything, even our very life,
yep.
and our existence. And he is there as a mediator between us and him.
Yep.
But we do not want to put our focus that he is capable of doing it, because he laid down his life and he took it back and he went to be with the Father, so you don't have to consult anybody else.
That's right.
But him, through him.
You need to be up here preaching.
That's all.
You think about it.
And what everybody said was that until God is ready. But this is what I see.
Yep.
Like when I'm sitting in the bus station talking with people and they wonder, oh, we never talked about this. I say, yeah, it's true. God had his son who came and died for us. And he was raised from the dead and sat with him on his right hand, not even on his left side, not his back, not in another office, but sitting right next to him. He would say, look at my hand. I did it for him. Look at my legs. Look at my feet. I did it for her. Would you forgive them? Would you help them? Give them what they need. This is what I died for.
Yep.
This is why I shed my blood for. This is why he sent me for. You think the man, God will not turn around to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to say well 2-3 times.
Right.
One time, we're good.
Right.
God
if,
on the move.
If we really understood the power we have by that relationship we have with Jesus Christ, tell you what, there would be nothing that we wouldn't pray for.
Any and we would run away from you. Cancer would run.
That's right.
Diabetes would run.
Yeah. That's right. If we really understood.
Penny. But you also have to realize that God makes conditions, if you want to put it that way. He said, if you're mad at somebody else, I can't hear you.
We're gonna talk about that in a minute.
So, I mean, you know, I love God all the time, but usually when I find that he's not moving, and for years and years and years I prayed for my father. And I was going home to see him, and he said, I told you to honor your father. And you know what I've been doing? Nagging my father. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. That's not honoring my father. He wasn't the person I wanted him to be. I'm saying God save him, and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And, you know, all the time I see these things, I'm making myself sound really sinful, just like the rest of them. I see these things where I'm in God's way. You know, I have fasted and prayed, and God said, you know, you really still don't. I didn't believe. I didn't believe he could do it. I didn't believe he could save my drunken father. And by the way, he did, or else I would never tell you the story. You know, it, I mean, 2 weeks before he died, my father got saved.
Wow. That's a miracle. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I was not, I was praying because I'm righteous. But I was also angry with my father. So how many of those prayers did God even hear?
Yeah.
Plus, I was disobedient to God's word, because God's word, every bit of it, applies to me.
Yep. Good, Gail.
I had someone tell me this, and it really gave me peace. I've heard people say, God doesn't answer my prayers, or he doesn't answer my prayers. God answers all our prayers. He either tells us to wait, he says yes, and he says no.
That's right.
And his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. So he has a time period, and he does things within that time frame, and it's always the perfect timing for everything.
Daniel chapter.
We want things instant. We live in an instant world where we want things to happen right now.
Daniel chapter 10. Daniel prayed.
Yes.
He was fasting, and he had fasted for 3 weeks, and finally an angel comes to him and said, from the very moment you prayed, your prayer was answered.
Right.
It's just that me and Michael have been fighting through this prince of Persia to bring you the answer. So that's where we stand up and say, Lord, your word says. You know, your word says, Satan, the word says. We proclaim it, and then it manifests in God's time. And God's always on time.
When Joseph was in the pit, I'm sure he didn't say, God, let me go into slavery and then put me in prison and then let me out of it.
Right.
Yep. You know, I mean, we think about God doesn't answer us. You know, look at the heroes of the Bible.
Yep.
I mean, he answered every one of them, but, you know.
They all lived questionable lives, didn't they?
I've not been in a pit or been in jail, so, you know, he's really good to me.
Yeah. If you wonder if you're walking in faith, faith always is optimistic. Doubt is always pessimistic. So if you need to know where you're at, think about it. Am I being pessimistic or am I being optimistic? And that'll tell you right off if you're walking in faith or not in faith. You remember when the Israelites had come to the edge of the promised land after 40 years, and because Moses had struck the rock the second time instead of speaking to the rock, God wouldn't let him go in. He said, I'll let you see the promised land, but you're going to die, and I'll bury you, but you can't go in. Well, Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies went into the land to check it out. Well, what was their report? Anybody remember?
Giants.
There were giants, and they lived in fortified cities. He said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're these little, and he was literally talking about literal giants lived in this land. They are out there carrying the grapevine, yeah. The sculpture, if y'all haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. But Joshua and Caleb went back and they said, look, we can do this. We can do this. They were optimistic. They walked in the voice of faith. The other 10 said, oh man, we can't do this. They'll kill every one of us. Matter of fact, if you ever wonder why God told the Israelites to go in and kill men, women, and children, and even kill their animals and everything else, anybody ever wondered about that? Anybody here didn't know God did that? It's because those people were giants. And if you read in Genesis, the angels came down, had relationships with women, they had children, and these children were giants. And obviously they had no spirits to go to heaven, and they were wicked. History and a lot of, what do they call those stories about giants and heroes and superheroes? Mythology talks about, I'll get there eventually. Let me go around my little track here. But anyway, they were evil, and some of them were cannibals.
Oh.
Some of them had like six, one of them, the Bible says he had six fingers and six toes in each hand and foot. One of them had a bed that was like 18 foot long. I mean, what'd you do if you walked in and you saw some guy that's 15 foot tall and just this massive? They said even their voice was just incredible. Here I'm trying to think of the giant. Goliath. He would scream out and say, you know, send somebody to fight me and the war will be all over with. Well, apparently his voice was terrible, and they'd tremble when they'd hear his voice. Well, that's why God told them to go in. That's just a little sidebar for you to know that. They were all giants in this land, and God had to destroy them. Satan was trying to cut off the godly bloodline that Mary would come through so Jesus could be born to atone for our sins. That's like when Noah's flood happened. When I was sitting in seminary, one of our guys, Mel Piper, just passed away last year. He said, the Noah's flood was an act of mercy. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. You kill all these people on the earth and only 8 people live and it's an act of mercy? Well, he went to explain. He said, all these giants, Satan was trying to cut off that godly bloodline so Christ couldn't come and pay for our sins. So by him letting those people be destroyed that were infected by that blood of the giants, it was an act of mercy that their generations could produce Mary eventually, and she had Jesus, and Jesus came and paid for our sins. Anyway, I hope that means something to you.
Some of these giants, were not only the size of these people, but what they were doing on the land, it was contrary for what God wanted men who were to worship him.
Right.
So God wanted to get rid of all of these people so that he chose him, or people who are waiting to serve him would not be infested.
Right.
With their belief in
and their sin, and yeah.
This is what happened even after the destruction of the old world by flood. Mm-hmm. When Noah came out, this is how you have Babel and Babylon was built.
Right.
Because these people, the sin spirit, the sin fallen angel that had relationship with the women of those days and had kids, this kind of spirit continues to exist, but we don't really realize this. Because from the day of Adam and Eve, Satan has always fought, because God said it in his presence that the seed of a woman was going to crush his head,
right.
And he was going to bruise his heel.
Right.
So every generation that comes into the world, Satan is trying every way possible to destroy them.
Yep.
Because he does not know what God knows. So anybody who comes to serve God, he wants to get rid of you.
Right.
That's the reason why God destroyed them, because he didn't want them to infect those chosen people of God in
right.
His world.
That's right. But that's why God told the Israelites, you're not to marry out of your race.
Yes.
And if you look at the wisest man in the world, Solomon, at the end of his life, he gets completely away from God. But he had 1,000 wives. Yeah, and he would take these women from other tribes and other countries, and he was expressly forbid not to do that. Matter of fact, he ended up writing witchcraft books toward the end of his life. I've seen some of them. And it's just sad what happened in his life. But Joshua and Caleb, I need to finish up here. Joshua and Caleb went to the people of Israel, and it says Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome this land. So sometimes he said, we need to do it now. Let us go up at once to possess the land. Sometimes we defeat ourselves by stopping and waiting and thinking about things, don't we? If we just pray for people or do whatever God says, then we could see miracles happen. So how do we see God move in miracles? There are three things I want you to get here. The first one, when Jesus went to the fig tree again, they said, Peter said, look, it's dead. And what is the first thing Jesus said? He said, have faith in God. It literally, he said, have the faith of God. If you look in the Greek, he says, have the faith of God. Well, Jesus said in John 5:19, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we need to figure out, what would Jesus do in a situation? Like I say, does Jesus want people, little children, to be eaten up with cancer, leukemia? Does Jesus want you to live in poverty? You know, poverty's a belief system. Did you know that? I heard that today. I thought that was good. Poverty is a belief system. If you can change your thinking, then you can walk in prosperity. It doesn't matter if you have a penny to your name, you can walk in prosperity. Lester Sumrall, he passed away a few years ago, but a great man of God. I got to see him minister for a week one time, and it was incredible. He got called to go around the world and preach the gospel, and that's what he did most of his life. He was an evangelist. He got on a ship to go around the world. He had $14 in his pocket. This is like 1940, so that's probably what, worth 50, 60 bucks, 80 bucks. He had $14 in his pocket, and he spent the next 40, 50 years preaching the gospel. He left with $14. How many of you would say, I can't go, I don't have enough money? I would probably do that. But you know, he realized that money didn't limit him. Money wasn't his ticket. God was his ticket. So anyway, we've got to have the faith of God. We need to, what is the nature of God? What would Jesus do in a situation? What is Jesus' heart when we see somebody that's suffering? We need to have the God kind of faith. How do we get the God kind of faith? First of all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. If we hear the Word of God, guess what? Guess what gets coming out of us? The Word of God starts coming out of us. We start thinking along the Word of God. We need to learn what the nature of God is. And I believe faith also comes over a period of time in our lives. I think as we walk with the Lord, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more our faith grows, because we see God do more things. We see God stand behind His Word. We see things like people getting healed and things like that. So we need to have the faith of God, number one. Number two, this is a big one, and you were talking about, we've got to walk in forgiveness. Let me tell you, if you're harboring bitter feelings towards someone, God's not going to do a cotton-picking thing for you. It's not that He doesn't want to, but you're putting a cloud. Barbara and I went and saw the new James Bond movie the other night, and if you get a chance, go see it. It was really good. But they're being attacked in this big government building, and this guy's coming in, and he's trying to shoot M, if you remember who M was. But anyway, James Bond looks, and there's a fire extinguisher over here, and there's a fire extinguisher over here. So, you know, brilliant as he is, he shoots both of them, and it causes this big fog, and so they were to get her to safety. Well, what happens when we've got sin in our life or unforgiveness, there's this big fog between us and God. And we're the ones that cause that, right? You know, bitterness is, and unforgiveness is only going to affect you. It's not going to affect other people. It's going to affect you. So Jesus said, if we have forgiveness or have unforgiveness, we need to go get those things right with people. The 12-step program that we deal with in Celebrate Recovery, one of the big things is going and making amends for people, unless it's going to cause hardship between you and them. But you need to make these amends with people. It doesn't matter if somebody's done you wrong and you haven't done a cotton-picking thing to them, you may have bitter feelings toward them, and you need to go ask their forgiveness. You know, whether they want to forgive you or not, or whether they're going to like you or not, you need to get it right in your heart. Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Here's Peter, I think, kind of playing Jesus to see what he can get out of him. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus was saying an infinite amount of times, you forgive your brother. Boy, that's hard for me sometimes. When I see people doing stupid stuff, see, we're going to talk about maybe one of these days the motivational gifts. I'm a prophecy motive, which means I like somebody that says, don't do that, that's stupid. Where a mercy motive is like, oh, come on, you know, let me help you with that. I know it's hard. That's the difference in a mercy and prophecy. But, you know, you're all trying to get to the same point. You're trying to get that person to do right. But anyway, so we need to walk in forgiveness. Number three, Once we know what God's word is, once we know there's no sin in our lives, we've got to speak the word of God. Like I talked earlier, the Bible says at the end that we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have, literally, we have the power of life and death in the tongue. Steve's got a good teaching on the tongue. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but he's got a great teaching on it. You have to teach that again sometime. But seriously, there's the power of life and death is in our tongue. You remember, anybody remember what the one of the Ten Commandments is that talks about the voice or using words?
Don't bear false witness.
That's one. There's another one I'm trying to get at, though, and that's a good one.
Not take the name of the Lord thy God.
There you go. Take the Lord. And why is that? Why should we not do that?
Because he's the one who gives us life and breath. And
absolutely.
He gives us the voice and the breath to speak, and so you should honor him with what you say in his name.
Absolutely. Plus, he's put so much power in the tongue. You know, the Bible talks about, or James said, you know, a little rudder steers a huge ship. That's the thing with our tongue. A little bit of what we say can affect our whole life and affect those around us. So that's really good. Thank you for that. I asked Barbara, I said, which commandment is that? And she said, oh, it's one of the 10. And I said, yeah, that's good, because I'm not sure exactly which one it is either. Thou shalt not take the name the Lord thy God in vain. And you know what? Taking God's name in vain is a whole lot more than using God's name followed by the D word. That's not the only way you can take God's name in vain. One way you can take God's name in vain is by not realizing the power in that name when you pray. You're just not putting any authority to it. When we say in the name of Jesus, man, that's powerful. That is powerful. And we need to realize that. And I think the more we study the word and more we have that relationship in prayer, we realize how important it is to walk in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I noticed in this generation, different generation, there's such lack of respect. The whole aura is a lack of respect even for themselves, for authority or anything. But we was watching like House and Garden or what, something like that last night, and they were doing these Christmas trees, and the mother was helping the son. But and that's all you hear in this generation is, oh God.
Yep.
She said it so much, I had to mute it.
Yep.
A lot of times I turn the TV station, and I was trying to, I was like, okay, wait, there she's going to talk again.
You know,
and she said it within the show probably 20,
no,
50
I don't
times.
Even know.
She, every time she spoke, she would say, oh my,
yep.
Jacob, I couldn't. And you cannot watch any TV.
Even
the
little children,
always on the television, and the movies and everything.
And the thing of it is like the little children even say it, but it is such an irreverence. It's just a word. But when I grew up, you never heard that. You
right.
did not hear people saying, "Oh my God."
Yep.
That's all you hear now, and it's not like, "Oh God," you
right.
know, God. Because I've done, you know, I do that, like, oh, God,
right.
you know, and that's a prayer, and just
right.
you don't even know what else to say. But it's just a common phrase, continuous, till
yep.
it's so...
I see preachers that do that.
And
it offends me. They're, oh, my God, you know, and it's like...
I've heard it, too.
I have, too.
It draws my attention, and if you're shopping, and it's like a... Because you love the Lord, and you try to honor him. We're not perfect. But then you hear people, you can't even go anywhere and not hear it, and it's nowhere. You know, you can't even turn, like you said, turn the TV on.
Yep.
So you're going to, like, one or two stations.
A lot of that...
Or classics or whatever.
I brought this up 2-3 weeks ago, but a lot of that started with this TV show back in the 70s called Mary Hartman. Because that was her claim to fame in that show. She'd say that. And that's where people... I mean, I would have had my mouth slapped as a kid if I said
it.
Let's finish up real quick. It's time to go. Don't use your mouth to speak slander. Don't use your mouth to speak profanity. Don't use your mouth to speak lust or foolishness. And that doesn't mean God doesn't have a sense of humor, that we can't tell jokes and say funny things. But when it comes to sacred things... We should avoid jokes and foolishness about sacred things. Those things are important, and those things are, if we realize the power in Jesus' name, we're not going to take it lightly. Now I want to read my conclusion to you, kind of sum up my thoughts. God is a God of miracles. The New Testament church is full of people that should be seeing miracles happen in their lives. God has given us access to his kingdom that is full of power. If we would fully understand the power that is available to each and every believer, and if we really got to know the nature of our Father in heaven, we would see miracles happen often. We will see God move mightily if we understand the power in our fellowship or prayer with Him. We would believe His word, and then we would speak to demons, to mountains, to sickness, and to disease, and we would see them flee. Amen. Steve?